Just before I turn to Acts 20, could I just say how good it is to see Simon Osborne in church this morning. Simon, you maybe know, had a very serious road accident, and he was critically ill for a while, and it's great, Simon, to see you here today, and you're very welcome in Drumrea. Many of us prayed for him, as you know, and it's great to see what the Lord has done. Today we come to the third and final part of our three-week series on what it means to be an elder. The first week we said, so you want to be an elder. The second week, what exactly does an elder look like? And today, what exactly does an elder do? And to answer that question, we turn to Acts chapter 20, and particularly verse 28, where Paul is speaking to these elders in the church of Ephesus who had come to meet him. And in the middle of that speech that he is making to them, he says this, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. And I want to take that verse of scripture today, and I want us to think about what it means to be an elder. And if you're not an elder today, remember, this is a reminder today, and this is a reminder of the responsibility of church leadership. Your job, maybe as a Christian, is to hold elders responsible to this job. You might never be an elder yourself, but nevertheless, there is this sense of holding ourselves accountable and of understanding what it means to be an elder in the church of Christ. The first thing that Paul says here in this verse is that an elder must keep watch over himself. That's an interesting thing that he tells them to do, to keep watch over themselves. This is something that I believe is increasingly going to come under attack in the society in which we are living. People nowadays think that so long as you do your job, whether it's, let's say, in a church playing an instrument or leading in the children's work or keeping the minutes of a committee meeting or counting the money, as long as you're good at doing that job, as long as you're competent, that's the most important thing. No, it's not. It's not. The most important thing is that you keep watch over yourself. For you can do a job. You can be involved in a ministry. But the point that the Apostle Paul is making here is this. You should not just talk the talk. You should also be walking the walk. Many a person does a job, but when they don't walk the walk, it takes away from the job that they do. And as Paul says to these elders here that they need to keep watch over themselves, he is encouraging them to ensure that their personal lives are lives that are lived to the glory of God. In his second letter to Timothy, he takes three occupations and he uses them as examples to teach Timothy spiritual lessons. He talks about the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer. The point he makes about the soldier is that the soldier is willing to make sacrifices, to give up home comforts in order to please the commanding officer. The elder should likewise be prepared to make sacrifices for the Lord. Maybe leaving the fireside to go to a meeting that you'd really rather not go to, or go to the General Assembly when you maybe really would rather not go, or maybe some difficult situation that needs to be ironed out. The elder has to be like a soldier, giving up home comforts in order to make sacrifices for the Lord. The athlete can only receive the victor's crown if they compete according to the rules of the competition. Think of a football match. If someone breaks the rules, the referee blows the whistle and the goal maybe is disallowed because they didn't score according to the rules. They were offside. The elders should likewise in their lives never be offside. As far as it is humanly possible, with the Lord's strength, they should live according to the Ten Commandments, the rules. And the farmer is the first to receive a share of the crops if he is a hard-working farmer. And Paul's point again is that the job of an elder involves hard work. But many are the rewards of being helpers of his joy. So the elder is to be like a soldier, an athlete, a farmer. keeping watch over himself, his personal integrity, his walk with the Lord. And he most definitely must walk the walk as well as talk the talk. Secondly, he's responsible for keeping watch over the flock of God, of which the Holy Spirit has made him an overseer. And isn't that a really interesting phrase, of which the Holy Spirit has made him an overseer? Today is Pentecost Sunday, as I said earlier, 6 weeks after the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And some people in Christian churches, Christian congregations, they forget there is a Holy Spirit at all. Or they limit the workings of the Holy Spirit. For some people, the only thing the Holy Spirit does is give new birth, turning people to God in repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all they pray for is that people will get saved. Well, that's good and that's true. That is the work of the Spirit. But here we learn that the Holy Spirit has more than just individual conversions in view. The Holy Spirit is also building the church of Jesus Christ, and part of that is the appointment of elders who will oversee the work of the church in its local manifestation. And the key word that's used there is the word overseer. That's what Paul says there. He talks about them being overseers in the church of God. And let's think about what it means for a moment to be an overseer. In the context of shepherding is the next thing that he talks about. When I hear this word and when I read the word shepherd there in verse 28, I can't help but think of shepherds I have known over the years. And I have to say that as farmers go, there is no farmer hangs over a gate like a sheep farmer. When a sheep farmer hangs over the gate looking at his sheep, to look the sheep as he puts it, he can be there, and I mean this, for hours. He looks over the sheep, he gazes at them, he studies them, he talks to them, he makes loving sounds towards them, he medicates them if they are ill, he will feed them, he will water them, he will shear them, he will dip them, he will fix fences or walls to keep them safe, he will defend them from stray dogs or from thieves or from predators, he will breed them, and in lambing season he will get out of his bed to go and lamb them. Sometimes he won't even go to bed. And should they be rejected, the little lambs, he will bring them into his house as his pet lamb. And I have seen pet lambs in wee boxes with a nice wee rug. And I have even seen them inside the range with the door open, not cooking them, mind, but just keeping them warm. The devotion that sheep farmers show, and coming from Belfast to me, it was an absolute eye-opener about the devotion that sheep farmers will give to their sheep. The 23rd Psalm we began the service by singing today. The shepherd we sang, it's the shepherd psalm. He leads the sheep to green pasture land, to quiet waters. He restores, he guides, he carries a staff to guide them, a club to fight off the animals, the wild animals. The sheep feel loved, they feel safe, they feel provided for, they feel restored, they feel at peace. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's how much I love the sheep. I give my life for them on the cross. And if you're not a Christian today, that's how you come to know Christ, through believing in Christ's death for you on the cross, shedding his blood that you could be saved from the thief, the wolf, and the devil, who come in to destroy you. The world comes in to destroy you. The devil comes in to destroy you. The world will seek to rip you away from God. But Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And to be saved, you must turn to him and believe in him as your Lord and as your Savior. And with that understanding of Jesus as the great shepherd, then those who are appointed into the church, into roles of leadership as elders, they are appointed as under-shepherds. Under the great shepherd, under the good shepherd, and they are called to be like Jesus in the congregation. Ezekiel criticized the shepherds of his day, the false shepherds. He said they were men who took care of themselves, who saw the flock as a means to an end, who ate the curds, who clothed themselves with the wool, who slaughtered the choice animals and ate them. They didn't care for the sheep at all. They didn't strengthen the weak. They didn't heal the sick. They didn't bind up the injured. They didn't bring back the strays. They ruled harshly and brutally until God said, I am against the shepherds, will hold them accountable. I will remove them from tending the flock. I will rescue my flock from their mouths. It will no longer be food for them. God has high standards for elders, overseers of the flock of God. It's never a look at me, look how important I am, look at me up at the front position. It's never a means to an end. It's always a how can I serve you mentality. How can I make the Church of Christ in this place a better place mentality. Working in team with the other elders, with the minister, overseeing the flock in a position the Holy Spirit has given. It is huge responsibility. It is huge privilege. And it's a huge joy to see the flock prospering, to see the people of God at peace, to see the people of God feeding on His word. And Paul, as he speaks here to these elders from Ephesus, he says, keep watch over yourselves. Keep watch over the flock. And the third thing he says is, remember the privilege of your calling. Because he says in verse 28 that the church is the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. And he's going to entrust it to you as an elder. Sometimes we say about a hard worker that they work so hard for something, they give it blood, sweat, and tears. I think it was Winston Churchill who said that. We've been thinking about D-Day this week in the news. It was Winston Churchill when the war kicked off in the early 1940s. I think it when he became Prime Minister, he said to the British people, I have nothing to offer you but blood, sweat, and tears. And when Paul here talks about his tears, as he talks about visiting from house to house, as he talks about how he had preached God's word for 3 years in this area, it's a comment on his commitment that he gave his all in order to get the task done that the church of Jesus Christ would be built up. Not that it depends on us ultimately. Remember, God is spirit. God the Father doesn't have a body. So the blood that was shed that Paul talks about, that he bought the church of God, that he bought with his own blood. It's not the blood of God the Father. God the Father didn't die on the cross. It is the blood of God the Son, who took on a human body. He put on a bodysuit, as it were, finally and permanently. And when the Son of God died on the cross, the blood that he shed there was the blood of God. In the words of Mrs. Alexander's hymn, there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Oh, dearly, dearly has he loved, and we must love him too and trust in his redeeming blood and try his works to do. I remember years ago watching an old cowboy and Indian film, and two of the guys in the film, they slit their wrists with big, they slit their wrists with knives, and then each of them, they put their wrists across each other and they rubbed the blood into each other. And it was a sign that they were blood brothers. It was symbolic that they were united by blood. Well, the Church of Jesus Christ is united by blood to Jesus Christ. And it's not symbolic. It's real. Christ loved the church. He gave himself for the church. And he calls the elders to understand that the church has been purchased with his own blood. Therefore, that the elders, as they serve, would be aware of the privilege. Paul says, you know how I lived the whole time I was with you. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up. He wanted them built up in their faith. Paul hadn't ripped them off or taken advantage of them or used them for his own ends. He quotes Jesus in verse 35, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Well, Paul had given to this work over and over and over and over again. And it's no wonder when they kneel down on the beach and they pray together that they weep and embrace him, because he had said, "You're not going to see my face again. I'm moving on. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be tried in Rome." And they wept over Paul because they loved him. Elders should be men who are loved by the congregation. Not because they're nice people, although we hope they are, but because of the service they give, because of their commitment to the congregation, because of the ways they serve people and they give themselves to people. And that's the challenge here when we talk about the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. This is just not running a golf club or a rugby club or a football club or some society or some group. This is the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. And as we conclude today, the church of God, again, as I've said other weeks, needs oversight. You might say to me today, "Well, I don't feel up to this." Let me tell you, I don't feel up to this. I don't feel up to coming here probably most Sundays. No one should feel up to it. If you're kind of coming into the job thinking, "Well, you're the big fella and you're going to sort everything out," you're probably not for you. You come humbly. You come with God's people in mind and ultimately God's glory before you. Because the church of God needs oversight, men to oversee the right preaching of the word, men to oversee baptism and the Lord's Supper, men to oversee prayer, to oversee evangelism and world mission, men to oversee worship, men to oversee fellowship, men to oversee discipleship. The church is more than saving souls. Jesus didn't say, "Go into the world and make converts." He said, "Go into the world and make disciples." Men of vision are needed, men of depth, men of warm spirituality, sacrificial men, hard-working men, disciplined and self-controlled men, men who will say in the words of the hymn, "Let us labor for the Master." And notice the word, "Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Because I serve the Lord." And if the call of God comes to you, well, I encourage you to take it. If you believe this is God's will for your life, if you believe that this is God's call, and I encourage the congregation to be looking out for men that are described here in this section of Scripture. Look out for such men. They're here. I believe they're here. And they're waiting to be elected. Put their names in those voting papers. Next Sunday's the last day for voting. Take those papers home with you. Read the leaflets. And let's look and pray for the church of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I love the church. Gotta say that. I don't see the church as just, you know, a kind of collection of people who just come together on a Sunday for an hour and go home again. This is the body of Christ, the people of God. Some of us aren't in it yet. But those of us who are should be working to further the body of Christ. That's what it's about. And the apostle here is setting that before these elders, as I trust I have set it before you today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word, this simple word that the Apostle Paul set before the people. And we thank you for the challenge of it to this very day, Lord, in terms of eldership in this congregation. And Father, we just pray for the guiding of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we need your Spirit. We need your Spirit guiding us as we vote. We need your Spirit as we serve. We need your Spirit, Lord God, as we seek to build up the church of Christ in this place and further afield. We seek, Heavenly Father, to be leaders, men who are worthy of your call and who have their eyes and hearts fixed upon the kingdom of heaven. Father, we worship you today. We worship you as a God who has privileged us in so many ways, in calling us to Christ and grafting us into the church and building us up in Christ. Lord, may our lives have written over them, Christ in me, the hope of glory. And Father, we ask that you'll continue with us in our service. In Jesus' name, amen.